Carefully, he descended. "I can't see you," Rodriguez's voice in his earphones sounded only slightly concerned. Looking up, Fuchida saw the expanse of deep blue sky and nothing else except the gentle slope of the bare rock, and the tether, his lifeline, holding strong. "It's all right," he said. "I'm using the VR cameras to record my descent. I'm going to stop at a ledge and chip out some rock samples there." "You know, we should have flown out to the Pathfinder site," Wiley Craig mused as he drove the rover through the dry, cold afternoon across the plains of the moon. "Tired of driving?" Dex Trumbull asked, sitting in the cockpit's right seat. "Kind of boring right now." "I checked out the idea," Dex said. "The rocket plane doesn't have the range to make it out to Ares Vallis."
"Could have hopped the fuel generator and gassed her up, just like we're doing for this wagon."
"I suppose so. But we'd need a couple of fill-ups, and that would mean flying the generator at least two different hops. And landing the plane twice more, too."
"Too risky, huh?"
"Oh, I wouldn't mind the risk," Dex said quickly. "But the rocket plane couldn't carry the hardware once we got there. Not with a full fuel load, at least."
Craig let out a long sigh that was almost a moan. "So we drive."
"We're getting there, Wiley."
"Awful slow."
"We're setting a record for a land traverse of an alien world. We'll be covering close to 10,000 clicks before we're back at the base."
"More than those guys who circumnavigated Mare Imbrium back on the moon?"
"Oh, hell yes. They only covered 2,500 kilometers.
"Huh. Pikers. Small-time stuff."
Trumbull grinned at his partner. They were both unshaven, their chins and cheeks bristly with the beginnings of beards they had agreed not to cut off until they returned to the domed base. "We're driving across what used to be the bottom of an ancient sea," Trumbull said, gesturing at the undulating ground outside. "I bet if we stopped to do some digging, we'd find plenty of fossils." Craig cocked a brow at him.
"And how do you recognize what's a fossil and what's just a plain old rock? Think you'll find trilobites or chambered nautilus that looks just like fossils on Earth?"
Dex took a deep breath, almost a sigh.
"I know that, Wiley.
I told Jamie about that the day we landed."
Craig grunted. After a few moments of silence, Dex said,
"Let me ask you something, Wiley."
"What?"
"About this matter of moving the base into the canyon. Whose side are you on? Mine or Jamie's?" Jamie stared at the three-dimensional image of the cliff face, bending over the immersion table display and concentrating as if he could force the ancient village to appear before his eyes by sheer willpower. Stacy Dezhurova was at the comm console, as usual. Trudy and Vijay were tending the hydroponic garden, and Jamie was growing impatient. "I should never have let Dex go out on this crazy excursion of his," he told himself. "Not only is it getting me in hot water with his father, it's screwing up the mission to the ancient village." Jamie knew that he could not head out for the canyon while four of the expedition's people were in the field. He had to wait for them to come back to the dome. Fuchida and Rodriguez would return in a few days unless they ran into trouble, but Dex and Possum won't be back for another 4 weeks minimum. "Don't let yourself get so worked up about it," he said silently. "Be patient. If it's really an ancient village tucked in those cliffs, it's been there a long, long time. Another few weeks isn't going to make much difference." Still, he burned to get going, to get out of this dome, out in the field, away from the others. Away from Vijay, he realized. "She's got me wound up like a spring. First no, and then yes, and now maybe. Is she doing it on purpose? Trying to drive me crazy? Is it her sense of humor?" Strangely, he found himself grinning at the thought. "We're already crazy. We wouldn't be here otherwise. This just adds another dimension to the craziness." "Be calm," the Navajo side of his mind advised. "Seek the balanced path. Only when you're in balance can you find beauty." "Sex. We tie ourselves into knots over it. Why?" "She won't get pregnant, not here. Not unless she really wants to, and she's too smart to want that. So what difference does a little roll in the hay make?"
Then he thought of her admission that she had slept with Trumbull. And Jamie knew that sex could be a fuse that kindles an explosion. Take it one step at a time, he thought. One day at a time. Then he grinned again. One night at a time.
Dezhurova's voice cut into his awareness. Jamie, you should take a look at this.
Jamie straightened up, felt his vertebrae pop, and turned toward the comm console where Stacy was sitting with a headset clipped over her limp, sandy blonde pageboy.
What is it?
Latest Met forecast from Tarawa.
Jamie saw a polar projection map of Mars's two hemispheres, side by side, on Dezhurova's main screen. Meteorological isobars and symbols for highs and lows were sprinkled across it. Stacy tapped a fingernail on a red L deep in the southern hemisphere. Jamie noticed that her nails were manicured and lacquered a dark purple.
That is a dust storm, she said.
Bending over her shoulder to peer at the map, Jamie nodded, and noticed that Stacy was wearing a flowery perfume.
Way down on the other side of Hellas, he muttered. But they're forecasting it to grow.
She touched a key, and the next day's map appeared on the screen. The storm was bigger, and moving westward.
Still way below the equator, Jamie said.
Even so.
Can you get a real-time view of the area?
On two, she replied.
The screen immediately to her right brightened to show a satellite view of the region.
Dust storm, all right, Jamie said.
Big one.
And growing.
He thought aloud, even if it grows to global size, it'll take more than a week to bother us here. Fuchida and Rodriguez will be back well before then.
But Dex and Possum.
Jamie pictured Dex's reaction to being called back to base because of the possibility of a dust storm engulfing him. I'd have to order him to return, Jamie knew. And he might just ignore the order.
Tell Tarawa I need to talk to the meteorology people right away, he said to Stacy.
Right.
Hey, Mitsuo, Rodriguez called.
Automatically, Fuchida looked up. But the astronaut was beyond his view. Fuchida was alone down on the ledge in the caldera's sloping flank of solid rock. The buckyball tether that connected him to the winch up above also carried their suit-to-suit radio transmissions.
What is it? He replied, grateful to hear Rodriguez's voice.
How's it going, man?
That depends, said Fuchida.
On what?
The biologist hesitated.
He had been working on this rock ledge for hours, chipping out samples, measuring heat flow, patiently working an auger into the hard basalt to see if there might be water ice trapped in the rock. He was in shadow now. The sun had moved away. Looking up, he saw with relief that the sky was still a deep blue. It was still daylight up there. Rodriguez would not let him stay down after sunset, he knew, yet he still felt comforted to see that there was still daylight up there.
It depends, he answered slowly, on what you are looking for, whether you are a geologist or a biologist.
Oh, said Rodriguez.
A geologist would be very happy here. There is a considerable amount of heat still trapped in these rocks, much more than can be accounted for by solar warming alone.
You mean the volcano's still active?
No. It is dead. But the corpse is still warm, a little.
Rodriguez did not reply.
Do you realize what this means?
This volcano must be much younger than was thought.
Much younger.
How young?
Perhaps only a few million years, Fuchida said excitedly. No more than 10 million.
Sounds pretty damn old to me, amigo.
But there might be life here. If there is heat, there might be liquid water within the rock.
I thought water couldn't stay liquid on Mars.
Not on the surface, Fuchida said, feeling the exhilaration quivering within him. But deeper down, inside the rock where the pressure is higher. Maybe.
Looks pretty dark down there.
It is,
Fuchida answered, peering over the lip of the ledge on which he sat. The suit's heater seemed to be working fine. It might be 100 below zero in these shadows, but he felt comfortably warm.
I don't like the idea of your being down there in the dark.
Neither do I, but that's why we're here, isn't it?
No answer.
I mean, we still have several 100 meters of tether to unwind, don't we?
Rodriguez said, 1192 according to the meter.
so I can go